First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
You're listening to Karen Cataline as a regular guest host of the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. And as I mentioned last hour, people are happier than ever. Doesn't mean we don't have challenges, but we have an actual president. I am also happy to welcome, full disclosure, somebody I consider a friend who's always been amazingly accomplished and right now is no different. So I'll tell you a little bit about her right now. Her name is Christine Q. Burt. She's a political campaign. She's been a political campaign manager and has worked in political leadership in 15 emerging democracies from the former Soviet Union to the Middle East to Africa to Asia. She's helped small businesses and has been the executive director of two nonprofits focused on education. And right now, she's executive director of American Battle Monuments Foundation, in which there is a student essay contest that she's here to tell us about. Welcome to the Alan Nathan Show, Christine Burt.
Hi, Karen. Thanks for having me on.
It is great to have you. And I was looking at the literature. First, you can tell us just a little, because we don't, you know, we want to get right to it, what the American Battle Monuments Foundation is all about. And then I guess you could go right into what the essay contest is all about and how people can be a part of it.
Okay, thanks for that. The American Battle Monuments Foundation, which we call ABMF, it's such a mouthful, Alpha Bravo Mike Foxtrot.org. We are the nonprofit partner of the American Battle Monuments Commission, which is a U.S. federal agency, been around 100 years. They are responsible for all of the American military cemeteries and memorials overseas. There are 26 cemeteries around the world. The one at Normandy is probably the most well-known, but it's not even the biggest. In fact, there are almost nearly 234,000 American service members buried or with their names inscribed on the walls of the missing at these ABMC sites around the globe. There are from World War I, World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, about half of all the people who died in battle are buried overseas or their remains are missing and they are memorialized at these ABMC sites. So
how about that?
Congress, I get goosebumps thinking about it. So Congress allocates monies to ABMC to take care of these beautiful, hallowed sites. And what ABMF does is education and outreach. So our donors who are corporate partners and people like or entities like Boeing and Airbus and FedEx, Troutman Pepper, some that may be more well known than others, but our corporate partners and our individual donors very generously help to cover the costs of Memorial Day activities at all the cemeteries. This past year, we did a huge event to recognize the 80th anniversary of D-Day at Normandy. There were 12,000 people there, but significantly, there were 202 World War II veterans.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. The average age, Karen, the average age of these guys was 97. It was the 80th anniversary. So what does that tell you? A bunch of 17-year-olds storming the beaches at Normandy.
Yes, yes. Let's talk about this essay contest, because I found the two mandatory questions, which I just love. I just love this. What lessons from this specific event are useful for us today? And what difference did this event make your own life today, make to your own life and for your future? So you're connecting with people, why it's important. So what are some of the things they can write about? And when's the deadline?
This year, this is the fourth year that we've done it. We're pivoting to World War II Pacific Theater. There'll be a lot of 80th anniversary commemorations there. We're starting off with the attack on Pearl Harbor, because that helps kids understand why America got into the war at all and what that meant in terms of the war in the Pacific Theater. But we want them to write about a day in the life of one of four people that was present. So they can write about one of the battleship captains on Battleship Row that was attacked. They can write about a specific fellow who was a ship's cook. He was a black fellow, and he was the first black sailor to ever receive the Navy Cross. His work that day was courageous and remarkable, which is why he was so honored. So they can write about him, a fellow named Dory Miller. They can write about the pilots who managed to get aircraft up to fight the Japanese Zeros and take out some of those suicide bombers. Or they can write about the radar operators. That's an incredibly interesting backstory about there was forewarning warning that the Japanese were coming, and they kind of dismissed it because they were expecting some other aircraft from the east, from American aircraft, and it was discounted until it was too late. So they can write about a day in the life of one of these four people who was there, or they can write about the Battle of Midway. Midway was really interesting in that it was a turning point in the war. And when there was the role of cryptographers was fascinating to figure out what the Japanese were planning, and then how the Americans kind of created a strategy that caught the Japanese unaware, ended up really changing the morale of both the Americans and the Japanese at Midway. And it was never the same after that. Very bloody battle, lots of death and destruction. But unfortunately, that story goes with every battle.
Yes, yes, it does. I don't know if this is relevant, and I know that you are the executive director of a nonpartisan foundation, which should be in the hearts and souls of every American, no matter what their politics. But we're seeing a resurgence in military recruitment. People are feeling optimistic. They're feeling patriotic. Can you comment on that in a general or a specific way? Because something profound is going on that's changing America back to at least what I think you and I remember it used to be.
It is profound, and I'm here representing the American Battle Monuments Foundation, and we are a nonprofit organization, so I will temper my remarks, but
I knew
to say that but to say that you know, thank God. I think about what would the United States and the world look like if the last election was different. And there's such a stark contrast in style, purpose, mission, energy, drive, approach, values. Thank God. So there you go.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to say.
I'm so glad you said that, because you can say it in the most nonpartisan way, that something profound and contrasting is going on, and nobody could say it more eloquently than you. Tell everybody how, if they have a child who would like to participate in this essay contest, tell them how to do that, because they've got some time to go ahead and get involved.
Yeah, I kind of missed some of the really cool parts to it. This contest is for students ages 11, 18. They compete amongst their cohort, their peer group. So we have a group of 11, 12-year-olds, 13, 14, 15, and 16, 17, 18.
You got about 20 seconds, sorry.
Okay.
Go for it.
The prize money is $1,500 to $10,000. And the deadline is April 27. Go to abmf.org. All the information is there. abmf.org. Alpha Bravo Mike Foxtrot.
That is great. Christine. Christine Bird. Always a pleasure to have you. We'll have you back closer to the essay date, and we'll do it again. Take care. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll have more on The Ellen Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
If your child swallows a button battery, it's an emergency. Dr. Ian Jacobs from Children's Hospital of Philadelphia has more.
Button batteries are everywhere, inside toys, remote controls, watches, lights. When swallowed, these batteries can get stuck in a toddler's throat, and once inside, a child's saliva interacts with the battery charge for a chemical reaction that burns the tissue and may damage the esophagus.
Children younger than 6 are most at risk of swallowing a button battery. If you suspect a child has swallowed a button battery, take the child to the emergency room immediately.
Children often swallow batteries without anyone noticing. The symptoms may mimic the most mild symptoms of a common cold or flu. They can include sore throat, difficulty swallowing, cough, vomiting, gagging, or even chest pain. Tightly secure battery compartments and keep spare batteries out of the reach of children. And when batteries die, safely dispose of them.
For more information on button battery safety, visit chop.edu/button battery.
Welcome back to The Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we may or may not get our guest, but it gives me a chance to do a little more housekeeping here and to, shall we say, alert you to my latest piece. I haven't blogged in forever, blogging being a verb. So interesting. I blog, you blog. My website is KarenCataline.com. You spell that with a K, K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E, and you spell my first name the way all middle-aged white women who complain a lot spell their name. That's not all. Karen, K-A-R-E-N. Under blog, you'll find a piece I wrote called Rehab for Democrats. And the subtitle really tells you what it's about. It's actually a 2-minute read, which blogs are pretty, pretty short. Why are conservative pundits trying to rehabilitate the left? So I ask you to read it, and maybe you could write me at my website, Karen@KarenCataline.com, and tell me why it is that you can watch things like The Five on Fox News or a myriad of other conservative pundits, and they will be giving advice to the left to tell them how they can be relevant again. You know, that might be true. It might be okay in an environment where we had a two-party system and both parties played by at least the most basic rules, okay? I'm going to cut to the chase and tell you some of the bullet points that I used in this article. So you won't have to read it, but I hope you do anyway. What is motivating these commentators to want to prop up the same people who played weekend at Bernie's with the presidency for the last 4 years? I said it in the opening here. They opened our prisons and our borders while they imprisoned law-abiding citizens. Do you want to rehabilitate people like that? Keep in mind, as I give you only a couple of other examples, when there are numerous, endless examples, that The same people marched in lockstep on every single one of these issues. Now that we're opening and understanding what USAID and pricking the surface of the deep state, these alphabet agencies, USAID was just the first, and all of these agencies where they lost altogether $4.7 trillion, that's trillion dollars. And make no mistake, people got that money. And deep staters got something for that money, to which Donald Trump recently alluded. They got something for that money. So they were using our money, our taxpayer money, to get something which directly harmed us, to use malicious. They will find that out, okay? This is what I predict. Here's another bullet point. They never stopped pushing a deadly experimental shot, even when they knew it had already caused widespread extensive damage. Then they covered it up and protected the pharmaceutical companies anyway. You can read a lot into that. I'll go on. These are the same people who tried to convince us that homosexuality was fixed, but heterosexuality was fluid. And mastectomies for 12-year-olds was imperative. Think about that for a minute. For decades, they were telling us, homosexuality, you're born with it. You can't change it. I never wanted to. I was in the theater. I don't have a problem with what adults do and the sexual choices they make, as long as it is voluntary for both parties and doesn't hurt anybody else. Now, you might hear people with a stronger religious bent who I don't even think most of them want to outlaw it. They just don't want to have it pushed in their face every 5 seconds. This issue has been enormous. But here's what they did. For decades, they told us homosexuality was fixed. You couldn't change it. They were born with it. How can you be angry or hurt anybody? And we don't want to hurt anybody. How can you be angry at anybody or hold them accountable or responsible when they were born with it? Okay. But heterosexuality in the last few years, they decided was totally fluid. And you could teach little girls to want to be little boys and then maim them in the process, which in my opinion is an atrocity and criminal. And I'm not alone. I'm not alone in that assessment. I am delighted, thrilled, and pleased as punch that Donald Trump signed an executive order, because the Congress was so morally bankrupt that they couldn't outlaw. It's too bad you needed law for this. It ought to be common sense that you don't maim, surgically maim, and chemically castrate children who are not of age to make those decisions for themselves. This is the stuff these are crimes against humanity, and to justify this is amazing. And these are the people that some conservatives, it makes me laugh until I cry, that conservative pundits want to prop up and make them relevant again. No. These people need to be held accountable. They need to be exposed. And if they've committed any crimes, such as buying political influence and more, they should be named, charged, and prosecuted. Here's another one. Lectured us incessantly about how we should believe all women, protect them from abuse, domestic abuse. I agree, except that women are not the only perpetrators in are not the only victims. Sometimes men are the victims. But, you know, we ought to all believe all women and protect them, unless women are being pummeled by a man in a dress. Then suddenly women are supposed to just shut up and take it and accept it. And except their broken nose in the Olympics, that's okay. These are the people the conservative pundits want to prop up. Shall I go on? Yeah, I think I will. These are the people who framed and defamed. They tried to disqualify him, destroy him. You know who I'm talking about. Bankrupt him. They incited violence against him. And they stood by, and hopefully we'll find out who it was who fell down on the job of security, that Donald Trump was in danger for his life. For the rest of my life, I will remember what he said when he prevailed in the election of November 5th. He said, "I know that God spared my life for this purpose." If that doesn't make you humble and thank God, I don't know what will. And this isn't a religious show, and I'm hardly a Bible thumper, but that's pretty cool stuff. So when all that they did failed, then these same people called Trump Hitler en masse because they knew all along he was going to do exactly what he's doing right now. How about that? I could go on, but I have to take a break. I guess we didn't get our guest, but I got to rant, so I'm good. This is Karen Cataline, and let me just tell you, if you'd like to read that very short piece or visit my website or send me an email, just go to KarenCataline.com. You can email me at Karen@KarenCataline.com. Lots of Karens there. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll have more on The Al and Nathan Show. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Fair, F-A-I-R-E.com. It's a game changer for small business owners. It is a global online wholesale marketplace that connects retailers to brands. So if you're a small business owner, it's the ultimate place to stock your shelves with unique merchandise. Fair looked at search data from 100,000 retailers and brands, and it gave them like this crystal ball into what will be trending and what consumers will be wanting to buy in 2025. And it looks like we're all shopping for joy. The tricky part is getting that merchandise mix correct. And here's what you got to do. You got to listen to your customers. You got to really get to know and learn your customers. And then you have to do informed buying. So use the search data, use the trend forecast from Fair to really stock your shelves with confidence and authority. I want you to go to fair.com if you're a local retailer to shop wholesale. And for everybody else, support your small businesses, shop local, because every time you do, a real person does a happy dance.
This year for the big game, comedy superstar Wayne Brady is literally going to be winging it by spicing things up for viewers with a live series of improv. 5-time Emmy Award winning and 2-time Grammy nominee Wayne Brady explains.
I am excited to be partnering with Purdue this year to take the big game viewing experience in an unexpected and unpredictable direction. After all, it is one of the biggest wing eating events of the year. During the big game, I'll be winging it while enjoying Purdue's air fryer ready crispy wings. Fans can join me and watch me creating songs, jokes, sketches, and more all off the top of my head. All of my performances will be inspired by key game moments, commercials, commentary, and the best part, even suggestions from you, the viewer. If that sounds like your type of party, hey, stock up on Purdue Air Fryer Ready Crispy Rings. Follow my Instagram account and join me live during the big game.
You can watch Wayne on Sunday, February 9th on his Instagram at Mr. Brady Baby. And don't forget to grab some Purdue Air Fryer Ready Crispy Wings. Learn more at Purdue.com.
According to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, nearly half of U.S. adults experience loneliness, and young adults are the most at risk. One organization dedicated to tackling this problem is the U.S. Army, which invests in innovative training and programs that build resilience and connectedness among its soldiers. Army Master Resilience Trainer, Staff Sergeant Cody Mackle, shares actionable tips to help everyone create a sense of belonging in their daily lives.
The reliance that many young adults and soldiers have on social media can often be mistaken for genuine connections, and it often leads to an overemphasis of external markers of success with things like job titles, social status, and physical belongings. Through my Army training, I've not only learned a variety of techniques that have helped me build stronger bonds with my fellow soldiers, but it's also provided me the opportunity to teach others the value of community. And by providing soldiers with that access to resiliency training, we're really helping lay the foundation for the next generation of soldiers and their community.
For more information on how the Army supports its soldiers, visit GoArmy.com.
Welcome back to Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we are glad to have back with us CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services and congressional candidate for New York's 21st District. His name? Reverend James Harden, who joins us right now on the Al and Nathan Show. Hi, Reverend. How are you?
Karen, thank you for having me back. It's an honor.
Yeah, well, it's an honor to have you, Reverend. So I've talked to you a lot in the past several years. And the whole mental health of the country seems to have improved tremendously. It's as if the world is turning right side up again. And that doesn't mean that we all have to agree. It doesn't mean we do ever always agree. But something fundamental is happening and changing in our country, not the least of which is that the very first piece of transparency of trying to clean up the hornet's nest of corruption that we knew was going on in our government was when they said USAID and some of the stuff that they've been up to. How come they don't want transparency, Reverend James Harden? Because apparently they don't.
No, they don't. No, transparency is just another word they use to, you know, as a smokescreen to control the masses. Quite frankly, the pro-abortion politicians in charge of the Democrat Party proved that during the election, the presidential election, and people saw right through it. Kamala Harris tried to get elected as the abortion czar, trumpeting, you know, women's reproductive rights and choice and all these things. But when a woman faces unplanned pregnancy, we know that it's not choice she's thinking about. She's thinking that she has no choice. You know, when the Biden administration targeted pro-life Christians for imprisonment in American gulags, people began to wake up. This isn't right. The politicization of federal law enforcement shouldn't happen ever. And so we were uncovering this this injustice, and we saw the corruption so obvious that the people of America essentially gave government power back to President Trump and the Republicans, and they're saying, look, enough of
us and the people
and us
exactly and the people.
Yes, there's a political revival happening, a political revival. Now I think that needs to be attended with a spiritual revival if it's going to sustain itself, meaning people have to remember what it means to be human under God again. And so, like the Declaration of Independence said, we are endowed by our Creator, capital C, not our government, with certain unalienable rights, the first of which, the right upon which all other rights are predicated, is the right to life. And so when I say, you know, money follows morality, I really mean that. You take a look at the corruption that's going on and how they've been abusing and fraudulently engaging in activities throughout federal government and, quite frankly, state government here in New York. We see that these corrupt politicians do not have the same core values. They do not have the same moral compass, if they've got one at all, as the people of this country. And so they're not representative of this country. They're essentially engaging in a fraud against the rule of law.
Reverend, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because there's a lot of different ways we could go with this conversation. You know that the segments are kind of small, but it gives us the time to for me to see what you think about this. And that is, when you said that it needs to be accompanied by some accountability, you know that both of us are of different religious, you know, faiths. However, we both stand together on religious freedom and on a whole host of constitutional values, one of which is pluralism and the First Amendment. I would submit, and I wonder what your thought is, that the religious revival or the connection to God in general, no particular denomination or whatever, but the imperative to connect back to God came before Donald Trump was elected. He's only human. He's not God. There's only one. But the fact that he won in a landslide, I believe that the last 4 years, the watching of unbelievable graft with no accountability, mastectomies for 12-year-olds, insanity, absolute insanity, trying to pass off a cadaver as a president and trying to censor those who asked a question a potted plant, I should say. All of that and more made people have a crisis of their own conscience to ask themselves what they would do, God forbid, if America ceased to exist. And I think that religious revival happened enough, and it's still going, to where people moved to vote and get Donald Trump elected against all odds, including an assassination attempt, two of them. What say you?
Yeah, I agree. You know, in some ways we have this crisis of conscience that was forced upon us by a corrupt government that essentially overplayed its hand. You know, a friend of mine who's a pastor says, you know, Satan always overplays his hand, and I think, you know, when evil is running rampant and masquerading as good and right, you know, normal people like us look at that and say, wait a second, that's upside down, as you described earlier. That's not reality as we understand it. They're intentionally creating reality that makes everyone in this country feel afraid and guilty. And who knows? Maybe I'm next. Maybe I'm going to be targeted by government next if they're able to throw, you know, the disfavored politically people in jail. Well, who's next? Is it the disenfranchised? Is it the depressed? Is it the elderly? I mean, this is mm-hmm. what's going on in America, and I think that people are afraid that America will be no longer if we maintain that track.
I couldn't agree more, and of course we do agree. I think that you said so much that I know what I wanted to say. It's not the people that were. I think what is happening is people who jumped on the bandwagon of hate Trump. Trump is a Hitler, which I found particularly despicable and disgusting, mm-hmm. among mm-hmm. so many other things. I think now because they are bandwagon jumpers, they're not evil themselves. They're just gullible, some of them. And now when they see the country going the other way, they'll probably get on that bandwagon too. But they can be dependent upon to change bandwagons often. I don't think they're evil. I think the ideology of a death cult, the ideology of believing that you're God in your universe and everyone else's, I think that's mm-hmm. what's evil. So it's, I just wanted to make
100%.
That clear.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. That's the primary core value of a country in a death spiral, and that is absolute personal autonomy. That is not a core value that is sustainable or that can sustain a civilized order. We, you know, in the Judeo-Christian moral framework, understand that it's self-sacrifice for one's neighbor that creates the conditions for human flourishing. It's a mother sacrificing for her child. It's a father, a husband sacrificing for his family. You know, it's in Christianity, it's Christ sacrificing for his church. That's how life comes about. And it's upside down. Everybody thinks, well, I've got to get my own. Well, that's not how it works. We've got to get up in the morning, as RFK Jr. said the other day, and find ways not to make ourselves happy, but find ways to make ourselves useful to other people around us. There's purpose there. There's mission there. And that's what I think our country needs to get back to.
Well, and there's accountability that was missing. Ultimately, you need free will. You need the freedom mm-hmm. to be able to make those choices so mm-hmm. that you can be accountable. It's not an accident that Marxism, socialism, and all these tyrannies take away one's free will, because then you don't have to be accountable to anybody. Well, they made me do it. The devil made me do it. Somebody made me do it, but I don't have to be responsible, right? So
that's a very amazing and very astute perspective. Yes. We are radically responsible for our neighbor. That is the teaching of Scripture. We are radically responsible for our neighbor, not government, not a medical system, not an educational system. I am. And right. So I must be held accountable to God. And when it comes down to the end.
So true. I don't get to put my hand in someone else's pocket, give it to my friends, and call it generous. Reverend James Harden, love talking to you. We're going to have to continue this again. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll have you back. Compass Care Pregnancy Services. We're going to be right back with another pastor. How about that? After this, you're listening to The Alan Nathan Show here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
The holidays are full of joy and celebration, but they can also bring health challenges like heartburn, hangovers, sickness, and stress. With expert advice for staying well and making the most of the season, here's nationally recognized pharmacist Sherry Turkus.
With the demands of the holidays, we can get run down and sick. To optimize health, eat balanced meals, stay hydrated, and prioritize sleep. If you're feeling under the weather, try Sambucol Day-Night Relief Capsules. It's formulated with black elderberries and other botanicals to provide relief from cough, mucus, and minor aches, plus immune support to help you feel better, faster.
Sherry also has tips for recovering from overindulgence with holiday celebrations.
To ease the effects of too many cocktails, rehydrate with water and electrolytes and eat foods containing niacin and zinc, such as bananas and nuts. Support digestion by eating smaller portions and avoiding triggers such as spicy and acidic foods. And for relief from occasional heartburn, try Heartburn Soothe, a non-drug formula that works fast to soothe and protect the digestive tract.
For more healthy tips this holiday season, visit SherryTorkus.com.
This report is sponsored by the Risk Less, Do More public education campaign from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. As we enter the holiday season, respiratory infections can rise. Now, more than ever, it's important to protect yourself from serious illness by getting this season's flu and COVID-19 vaccines. You may also be eligible for the RSV vaccine. Dr. Dimitri Daskalakis, director of the National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, has more.
Flu, COVID-19, and RSV vaccines help you risk less during respiratory virus season and do more of what you enjoy by keeping symptoms mild and keeping you out of the hospital. Updated flu and COVID-19 vaccines are now available for everyone 6 months and older. If you're 32 to 36 weeks pregnant, age 75 or older, or age 60 to 74 with certain health conditions, you should also get the RSV vaccine.
Visit vaccines.gov to get started today. Or for more information about respiratory illnesses, go to cdc.gov/risk-less-do-more.
A major update coming from Visa will soon mean when someone sends you money, you'll have access to your funds faster. Starting in April 2025, Visa's real-time money movement solution, Visa Direct, will improve the speed your money is available in your bank accounts here in the U.S. Whether splitting a bill with friends, moving money between accounts, receiving an insurance claim payout, or a worker accessing their earned wages, this change will ensure that funds are available in bank accounts within 1 minute or less, starting in April 2025. The improved speed and availability of Visa Direct's funds will improve how businesses and governments operate as well, enabling near immediate funds for everything from government disbursement payouts and healthcare payments to service industry tips. Visit Visa Direct's website to learn more about how Visa Direct is powering faster payments.
Are you excited about being a new grandmother?
Of course I am. A little intimidated, too.
Why?
Taking care of a baby today is so different than when I had you.
But, Mom, you did great with me.
Thanks, son. But I put you on your stomach to sleep.
Right. But now we know that babies should always be placed on their backs to sleep, for naps and at night, to reduce the risk of sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS.
You also slept with blankets and toys in your crib.
True. But now we know to keep everything out of the crib except for my sweet baby girl. No blankets, pillows, or other soft or loose items.
Daddy's going to teach Nana all the ways to keep you safe while you sleep. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
For more tips on safe sleep for babies, visit safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. That's safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something
it's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. Such a pleasure to be here, as always, and to be part of the team of regular guest hosts and, of course, the big honcho, Alan Nathan himself. Well, we are delighted to wrap up the show with founder and senior pastor of El Shaddai Ministries in Washington State. He's lectured at congregations and conferences in 12 countries on 5 continents. He's been on the cover of magazines and done numerous radio and TV interviews. He's authored 4 bestsellers, with his latest book being America at War. Pastor Mark Biltz joins us right now on The Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Karen. Great to be on your program.
Yes, always a pleasure. So, you're here to give us an update. A lot of us are watching and waiting and watching. That's what you do when you're looking at the Middle East. The latest on Israel and Hamas. What do you need us to know? You've been watching this closely, as have I. But in the Middle East, just like with Jews, 2 Jews, 3 opinions. What do you say about what's going on now? And are you optimistic, pessimistic? What?
I'm realistic, I would say.
Realistic. Okay.
I try to show both sides. There's always a good side and a bad side to everything. Obviously, the good side is some hostages were released. The bad side is that a bunch of mass murderers were released on the other side. And they settled not only in the Gaza Strip, but Judea and Samaria. We know that Trump has decided that he wants to turn it into the Riviera. But the question is, all these Arabs who supposedly love the Palestinians want nothing to do with them, and they don't even want one in their country. It baffles me. But so the problem is—
And they didn't want them in 48. They didn't want them in 48 either.
I know.
Right.
Right. And so it's crazy. But The problem is, what are you going to do with 2 million terrorists? Now, I know a lot. That's the reason why they don't want them. The Palestinians, Yasser Arafat, tried to overthrow the king of Jordan. Then he tried to overthrow the king of Egypt.
He tried to assassinate King Hussein in the 60s. Right.
Messed up Lebanon. So you can see why nobody wants them. So it's going to be interesting to see what Trump does. Here's the thing. Well, go ahead.
No. I was just trying to make sure that we got you. You were kind of going in and out there. One of the natures of talking on a cell phone. It's okay. Stand near a window. You'll be fine. Okay, go ahead.
But there's a big thing that's happening June 2nd that is going to be very telling for President Trump. Because that is when the UN is holding a special UN conference on the question of the two-state solution in New York.
Goody.
And so, but get a little of this. Guess what June 2nd is? It's Sivan 6, the very day of Shavuot. So here, the very day that God gave Israel the land and promised it to them is the very day the United Nations is going to try to say, no, he didn't.
Yeah. So what's the date? What's that date, Pastor?
June 2nd, which is Sivan 6.
Got it. Okay. So you know the Jewish calendar better than I do.
That's my specialty. What's amazing is it's one thing if Trump wants to administer the land. It's another thing if he wants to own it, like he wants to own Greenland. You know, a two-state solution is bad if it's Hamas and Israel, but a two-state solution is also bad if it's the U.S. and Israel, because we're not to divide God's land. It all belongs to the Jewish people, one Jewish state. But, of course, they can have different groups administer it underneath them. So my concern is that what Trump does on June 2nd, if he okays the two-state solution to try to be the hero or make the U.S. be part of Israel, it's not
going to
be good.
Pastor? I'm going to do something I almost never do. Number one, I don't like to make predictions. And number two, I this could be a first because I've never made a bet on a radio station before, especially when I'm a guest host and not my own show. But I have you on enough that I hope that we'll get a chance to talk about this, because I would put money, not the national debt, which is $31 trillion, which I don't have, but I'd put money on the fact that Donald Trump is not going to sell Israel down the river, nor does he want to own Gaza. These are bargaining chips. And for the first time in a long time, we have a president who is a true friend of Israel. We have a pit bull. I hope that's a compliment in the UN ambassador.
Yep. Uh-huh.
What's her name? I forgot. Denise.
Yeah.
It escapes me. But I think something good is happening. I mean, you got a president who came up with the Abrahamic Accords. This is not a president who's going to sell Israel down the river like Samantha Power and Cass Sunstein and Obama and the presidential potted plant.
I totally, totally agree with you. But as you probably very well know, in Bereshit or Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, it talks about God created the sun and the moon for, number one, signs. Well, the only signs they make are eclipses, and that way no false prophet can manipulate it. Okay. And it speaks in every language. I don't know if you're aware, on Purim, this Purim and next Purim, 2 years in a row are total lunar eclipses, which is huge. And on Nisan 1 and Tishri 1, there are total solar eclipses the next 2 years. And so when things like this happen, that signifies war is coming. Now, I hope it's coming in a good sense that Hamas will be destroyed. But I think the world needs to be aware of what is coming and what to prepare for, because you know the left isn't going to stand up to Trump doing what he's doing, and neither will the Palestinian terrorists.
Did you say that correctly, that they're not going to stand up to it, or they're not going to stand for it?
Yeah, they're not going to stand down. They're going
to
fight.
Oh, no, they're going to try to fight back. Right now, they've been painted into a corner as they continually get to stand up for government graft, corruption, criminality, and the like. And I'm telling you, these are amazing times to be living in. That is for sure. We have about 20, 30 seconds. What do you want to tell our listeners, and how do they find you and follow you, Pastor Mark Biltz?
Our website is esm.us. My latest book is America at War, coming this year, and they can get it on Amazon.
Can't wait to talk to you again as we watch this together. It is amazing, isn't it?
I love it, Karen. Thank you.
I do too. You take care.
Bye.
Bye. Well, that does it for this edition of the Alan Nathan Show. Thanks to everyone for making it possible. Stay strong. Keep watching. We're living in great, amazing times.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.